All right, you guys can start turning to Matthew 25 if you want. It'll be on the screen, but I definitely encourage turning in your own Bible so you can write in it. It's okay to write in your Bible. Last week, for those of you who weren't here, God was talking to us about risks and getting out of our comfort zone. And God has not stopped talking to me about that. So you guys are going to hear more this week here. And I was reminded of one of the words that God gave us a few years back about change. Some of you guys may have just cringed when I said that, but hear me out. We've had a lot of change that's came forth in the last year or two, but here's one of the things that God did say about that change. We own the change. We own the change. He's looking for us to take part and take risks for the kingdom. He's looking to stretch us. There's a capacity within us that's far bigger than we could ever imagine. Some of the things that limits us the most is mostly ourselves. The disciples, they knew what it was like. They were willing to die for telling people about Jesus. People don't take that kind of risk for something they're not sold out to. This morning, we're actually going to start in Matthew 25 in the parable of the talents. We're going to go ahead and read the whole thing because it gives a great way of picturing things here. Starting in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability." Note that they all had the ability within them here. "And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had gained 2 talents also gained 2 more. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me to 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money in the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. And he who has abundance but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing from the Message version, but we're going to look at verses 28 through 30 from the Message version here. "Take the 1,000 and give it to him who have risked the most, and get rid of this, play it safe, who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into the utter darkness." It's a great way of putting it there. Play it safe, who won't go out on a limb. Playing it safe and breaking even is not what God has in mind for us. God wants us to put it all on the line. So often we use this passage talking about financial stewardship. And yeah, we can use this when we're talking about money, but there's so much more to this passage if you look into it. He entrusts us with many things. Money, other people, our time. He entrusts us with all this stuff, but he doesn't just want us to maintain. No, he doesn't want us to dig a hole and bury it just for safekeeping. He doesn't want us to keep it the same. He's not looking for us to play defense. He's looking for us to play offense. Instead of just not trying to lose ground, he wants us to advance. When we're faithful to increase with what God has given us, he will increase it even more than we expected. Now, this is me thinking through this passage here, but I just happen to think that the two wise servants here, that they probably took what their Lord entrusted with them and said, they said to themselves probably, what would my Lord do with this? That's just what I think they probably said to themselves. And I think that's what God wants us to do too. He's into taking risks on people. He took a risk on me. But it's not really a risk for him because he knew what we would do with it. But if he's willing to take risks on people, shouldn't we be willing to take risks on people also? Not just play it safe? Now, I said we were talking about our comfort zone and risks this morning. You may be thinking, okay, that's great. We've been talking about all this. Well, how do we go from saying, yeah, we need to take risks and make change? Well, I've got an acronym for you. Let's dream about it. So we're going to use the word dream to outline 5 points. So the D in dream is decide. God gave each of us free will. In a recent study, it was found that we make around, wait for it, 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000 decisions a day. You think about it. You get up. Are you going to take a shower or not? Are you going to brush your teeth or not? What are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? Eating alone is nearly 250 decisions a day, just in what you put in your mouth. But we're constantly faced with decisions. They're constant. At the end of the day, you have to decide everything. And we have to realize that we're the ones in control of most of those decisions. The first step in changing is to actually decide. We need to realize we have to actually start. You're not going to get where you want to go overnight, but you got to start. I'm sure a lot of you guys have been there before. It would be nice to lose weight. I wish I would just lose 20 pounds. My clothes are getting a little bit snug. I probably ought to start exercising. Man, my knees are starting to hurt. Probably if I shed some of that weight off, it would do wonders for my body. You're wanting to do it, or hoping to do it, meaning to get around to doing it. That's not going to get it done, though. We have to decide within ourselves that we are going to do it. It's when we make that decision, we take that stand, we speak to ourselves and say, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to exercise. It's when you decide that you're going to start pursuing it and going down that road. Change isn't change until it's change. Talking about change ain't going to get it done. You got to decide you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. When we make a decision and take a stance, we reach deep into ourselves. Out of our inner man, we purpose in our hearts. Daniel, when he was carried off from Israel to Babylon, he made a decision that he was not going to partake of the foods of the king's court and all that that was being placed before him. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. He made that decision. Pray to make sure that this is God's plan for you. We all have a calling and a purpose. You know in your knower that it's God's plan. That's the R, is recognize God's desire in it. When it's a God-breathed decision, he will go before us while we're carrying it out. Pray, asking where God wants you to go. Pray what his leading is in it. Be willing to accept what he says too. Not everything is going to be our cup of tea. Not everything is going to be what we prefer to do. But we have to be willing to accept what God tells us. Not everything is going to go according to our plan. But if it's God's plan, it will succeed. A couple of verses out of Proverbs. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 16:1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. God's way may not be how we plan to do it. What we see is our comfort zone. But when God uses us in a way he normally wouldn't have done it, we wouldn't have done it, there's no doubt it's from God. When you do it what you're comfortable with, you have to go, well, was that my planning or is that all God? No. You do it when it's something that you're not, where it's not your forte, not your comfort zone, you know God is the one behind it. God puts the capability in us far more than we ever think. Rethink what you think is possible. We just sang it this morning. Nothing's impossible. We are unstoppable. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. We can try to make plans all we want, but so often we ask for the doors to be closed if they aren't of God. God is faithful to answer that prayer as well. I'll say, if it's not of God, I want that door to be shut because I want to get myself out of the way. I'm willing to listen to see if it's of God or if it's the enemy too, because some things, the enemy is going to try to create roadblocks, but when you've heard from God, you know it's God. But God can shut doors if you're not hearing from him correctly. And we can expect his answer. That brings us to E. Expect God. Expecting the result is a way of life for a Christian. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is hope in our expectation. God is faithful. God wants us to trust him. Great is his faithfulness. He wants us to believe that when we seek him, when we're seeking his kingdom and his glory, that he will give us the desires of our hearts. Because our hearts are focused on him. I know I've prayed for God to break my heart for what breaks his. And then you start feeling a burden for something. It just starts welling up with inside you. And that's what you desire then. When we've sought his counsel, verified it lines up against the word of God, we can expect God to move. A lot of times, though, we'll let doubt creep into our lives. We start speaking as if we're defeated. I don't know why I'm even going to apply for this job. I always get turned down. I never get a call back. I knew they would say no before I even asked. Our attitudes follows our expectations sometimes. If we've heard from God, there's no reason we shouldn't trust him. He is faithful to bring the outcome. Fully trusting God, leaning not on our own understanding. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Worrying about what man may think does not add anything to what we're doing. We can actually expect God to move when we do our part. So you're expecting it, but then we have to act. So that's the A in dream. God uses us to advance the kingdom. I don't say he uses us to advance the kingdom. Read your Bible. It's okay. More often than not, God has shown time and time again, he uses man to do what he wants done. He uses obedient men and women of the faith to do what only he can do through them. Even from the beginning, man was an integral part to the kingdom of God. The disciples, they were willing to risk it all for the gospel. So often today, we think we want things to be different, but sometimes we don't want to put the effort in. Losing weight, it takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes actually doing what you decided you're going to do. If you want to learn how to do something, you actually have to go through with trying to find out how to do it. Oh, I need to prepare. I need to get ready. I need to learn more. I need to watch an instructional video. Watching the instructional video only gets you so far, though. Because it looks a lot easier when you just see a video of somebody doing it. YouTube now is actually the number two search engine in the world. Google's still number one, but YouTube is actually the second largest search engine because people search for videos on topics that they're looking for. People search for how to do all kinds of things. I'll admit it. I've looked on how to adjust my carburetor for my chainsaw on there. And I've probably watched 5 different videos on the right settings and where the starting point is for the initial adjustment. Yeah, it's still not as easy as they made it look. I read plenty of articles, but watching those videos, reading those articles, they didn't actually fix my chainsaw. Right? But just like that, studying your Bible, praying, going through Bible studies, teachings, listen to teachings. It doesn't actually do what we're called to do. We can't just take in. You want filled up. But it's for it to come out of us and for us to apply it. James 2 and verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works his faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled saying, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for his righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Works doesn't put us any more in right standing with God, but works is a fruit of our faith. Three times in this chapter alone, James says that faith without works is dead. God is calling us to actively walk out our faith, acting on something that we put our feet to. At some point, we got to just stop talking about it and start doing it. Because when we start doing what we can do, God does what we can't do. He'll multiply us. And that's the M in dream. So from the beginning in Genesis, God intended for us to multiply. Go and be fruitful and multiply. Now, when I first read that as a new believer, I thought God was telling Adam and Eve and then Noah and his sons and their wives to procreate. And he was. Tell them to reproduce themselves. But that was also for today, for us to reproduce ourselves spiritually as well. Not just to multiply in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense also. We need to multiply. We need to reproduce ourselves spiritually. We can't be so focused on ourselves and our own personal walk that our personal walk is fruitless without getting out and spending time with people. Keeping to ourselves keeps it to ourselves. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, I don't want to lead anybody astray using this out of context. The larger picture of this chapter is talking about where Paul is talking about God loving a cheerful giver. And yes, the law of sowing and reaping works for financial giving, but he also applies when you give of yourself as well. When you give your time, when you give your talents, when you recognize that God has given you more than you have ever realized. So then you give back out of that. He doesn't just multiply our financial seed we have sown or increase the fruits of our righteousness through Christ. He multiplies our influence. We don't know how our interactions with others are going to affect them for eternity. But my hope is when they see us, they see Christ. They see his love. They see his goodness. Do you think that the person who led Billy Graham to Christ knew how God would end up using that man and how it would be passed on for generations? In May of 1934, a Christian businessman in Charlotte, North Carolina, held an all-day prayer meeting on his father's pasture. Billy Graham's father, William Franklin Graham Sr., recalled one of the men's prayer that day, that out of Charlotte the Lord would rise up someone to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Little would he realize how effective that prayer was. Billy Graham himself said that at that time in 1934, it certainly wasn't obvious that that someone might be him. So local pastors in the Christian's Men's Club had invited Dr. Mordecai Ham, a traveling evangelist, to hold a series of revival meetings in Charlotte, North Carolina. These meetings were held in a building they specifically built for the gathering. Ham preached 6 days a week for 11 weeks straight, and he preached boldly and didn't hold back about how God viewed sin. As a typical teenager, Billy Graham had wanted to have nothing to do with setting up and hosting the evangelist. And Billy Graham didn't have the enthusiasm about the meetings that his parents did. He saw the gatherings as more of, in Billy Graham's words, a religious circus. He had told his parents he had no interest in going to the meetings. That was until Ham posted or published in a local newspaper an article calling out some of the high school students and their immoral behavior. Students got upset. So there were rumors that the students were actually going to march on the gatherings and throw down with the evangelist. They were going to confront and possibly do body harm to him. So this piqued Billy Graham's interest. And one of his friends said, "Hey, come out and see this fighting preacher." "Well, hey, I like to see a fight." Thought, "Hey, this could be fun." Then one of his other friends goes, "Hey, why don't you drive my vegetable truck?" Back then, in 1934, there weren't a lot of kids that were able to drive, let alone driving in town. So it was an opportunity that he just ate up. And so he was going to bring as many people as he could in that truck to the gathering. In the flesh, Billy Graham wanted to go there to feed his flesh, to see what he wanted to see when we start getting outside of our comfort zone. We might just be surprised and get comfortable when we start getting outside of our comfort zone. This summer, expect to get stretched. We want to get out there. We're going to be doing some outreach events here and out in the community. We want to get out to where people are. So we're going to expand our comfort zone. We're not going to play it safe. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for expanding our comfort zone. God, we thank you in advance for what you are doing, God. Lord, we pray so often to use us, Lord. That is our prayer this morning as well. Lord, do what only you can do. God, help us embrace the uncomfortable. Lord, we seek you. We seek your glory. We seek your wisdom. Lord, start speaking to us directly for what it is that you want us to do in helping, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, we recognize that you have brought us so far. Lord, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. Lord, we want to take it out to those that still need to meet you, Jesus. We thank you for stirring us up, God. We thank you for bringing revival in us, God. Lord, that revival will come in us and be able to be poured out to those around us, God. Lord, let us overflow with your goodness. Let us overflow with your joy. Let us overflow with your love, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing, God. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.